God bless you today, beloved. Praise the living God in the wonderful, marvelous name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I pray that you have a blessed week. When we speak of blessed, I mean that the life of Jesus Christ would be given to you abundantly. That's what Jesus came for, that we might have Zoe and have it more abundantly. Blessed doesn't mean everything goes our way. Blessed doesn't mean we have favor with man. There's a difference between the blessing of the old covenant, the blessing for obedience, and the blessing in the new covenant, the blessing of his life being given to us more and more, that you might have life and have it more abundantly in the same time where you're not getting what the world has to offer more abundantly. Of course, the Lord's going to meet our needs and take care of us. But the blessing of the Lord is his presence. There are pleasures at his right hand forevermore. We are pilgrims passing through here. This is not our home. This is not our permanent residence. And God will do all that he can, if he loves us, to keep our hearts from being attached to the things that are decaying in this world. Thank God for that. I want to share this simple devotion, but this is a wonderful, wonderful truth and seeds for your spirit. When God really begins to help you to understand the difference of the two covenants, there's many aspects that he has to show you. But one of the main things we need to understand is how John the Baptist represents the old covenant. He was the final old covenant prophet. That's why it's so vitally important that he is in the Gospels. He has a very prominent place in the Gospels because there's none born of woman that is greater than John, Jesus said. Yet we see John doubting Jesus as time goes on. And Jesus said, the least in the kingdom is greater than he. John said, I must decrease, but he must increase. Every bit of this was God showing us a transition from the old into the new, from the old covenant that was sent to arouse our sinful passion, that was sent to bring us to the place where we would believe in the life of God, and we would believe in our death upon that cross. That's what the law was sent for. John was the final prophet of the old covenant. So when Jesus' disciples began to baptize people, it was different than when John's disciples were baptizing. And John's disciples were upset about it. They went to John, should we stop them? They went to John and said, should we stop them? And John says, no, you know, I'm just the one to introduce the way. He's the real bridegroom, praise God. I'm not worthy to unloose the latches of his sandal, hallelujah. And so John was passing the baton. He was yielding to Jesus. And John said, I must decrease, but he must increase. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to get to what I wanted to show you today. It's very, very interesting, and it's in the Word of God on purpose, that the people John was preaching to ask him, what must we do? Because John was preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Very similar, same message Jesus was preaching, but with a different goal in mind. The new covenant and the old covenant are different. But when John was preaching that, they said, what must we do? And if you look at the scripture here, John begins to tell them the moral things they need to do. It's just like the law. He begins to tell them what to do, practical things to do that are good, that are moral, that are right. Why would John do that? Because John is an old covenant prophet. John believed, very important. We understand John believed that our effort and our obedience would result in the blessing of God upon our lives. Oh my goodness, we need, it's so simple, but we've got to understand this. It's very important. This is what John believed. John believed Deuteronomy. John believed the word of God that promised if we will obey God in everything he said to do, like Joshua 1:8, meditate to do all that is written therein. John believed if we would do everything right, then our life would be blessed, that God would make us the head and not the tail, that God would put our enemies under our feet, which is one of the main reasons I believe that John was discouraged when he was imprisoned. He sent a delegation to ask Jesus, is he the one, or should they look for another? What a thing to say. Think about it. John was the one who introduced him. John was the one that saw the Spirit come on him, like, and rest on him like a dove. John was the one that said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John believed in him. But then when John was locked up, he was not, his enemies were not being put under his feet. His life was not being blessed. And Jesus was out there healing and blessing and delivering people who weren't obedient. He was delivering sinners. He was delivering people who had not followed Moses' law properly. And it was totally different. And John was sitting there as an old covenant believer. He believed if you'll obey, God will keep sicknesses off of you. If you'll obey, God will deliver you from your enemies. If you'll obey, God will bless your life. If you'll obey, you'll eat the fat of the land. And John did everything he could to be obedient, to such an extent that Jesus declared, there's nobody ever born of a woman who's greater than he is, but he who is least in the kingdom. You see, you can't enter into the kingdom of God with Moses' law. You can't enter into the kingdom of God by trying to be good for God. Friend, this is why, and don't miss this, because this is the ingredient I was missing, and everybody is missing when they first begin to understand the covenants. And the reason they're missing it is they don't want to die. Nobody does. But the covenant, you can't enter into the new covenant without your death. That's, you can't enter in without you dying and you decreasing and you stop breathing and stop living, and the life of Christ begin to live through you and manifest through you. It's a process of denying yourself, hating your own life, taking up your cross every day and following him. So when John said, I must decrease, man, this was so powerful, because not only was he declaring that the old covenant must decrease so that the new one can take its place, but he was declaring that he personally, his Adamic life, must decrease so that the life of the last Adam could increase and take over. Oh, it's so wonderful. But it's very interesting how when they come up to John and said, what must we do? John begins to list practical things, moral things for them to do. And then Jesus begins to preach, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And they came up to him and asked the exact same question. What must we do to do the works of God? What do we need to do? If you really look at what they ask John and what they ask Jesus, it's the same thing. It's the same response. When people are hearing, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Okay, we're hearing what you're saying. Now, what do we need to do specifically? John says, do these moral things. Jesus responded radically different than John did. They asked Jesus, what must we do to do the works of God? And Jesus said, the work of God is this, to believe on the one, vitally important, to believe on the one that he sent. There's nothing like that in the old covenant. There's no commandment to believe on the one. There's not even a commandment to believe in God. Amen. But there's the in the new Jesus, the new covenant, what do we do? There's always something to do. People say we're not saved by works. What that means is we are not delivered, healed, and set free by trying to be righteous for God. That's true. We are delivered, healed, and set free by believing in the one that he sent. But it's a deep thing to believe in the one that he sent. And it has aspects that must be adhered to. We do have a work to do. Hebrews chapter 4 says, labor therefore to enter into his rest. Many will come short of it, just like they did in the wilderness. Labor to enter into his rest. He says, he who ceases to labor enters into his rest, but we should labor to enter his rest. Is he contradicting himself just within a couple verses? Or is the labor to enter in different than the labor we must stop? I don't want to confuse you here. Hebrews 4 says, labor to enter in. And then right after that, it says, or I'm sorry, right before that, it says, he who ceases to labor, whoever stops laboring, enters into Jesus' rest. And then immediately he says, labor therefore to enter in. Well, that's total contradiction, it sounds like. He just said, if you stop laboring, you can enter in. And then immediately he says, labor therefore to enter in. So the labor is a different labor. It's a different work. The work of the new covenant is there. You are saved by some work. You're just not saved by the old covenant work. You're saved by the new. What is the new covenant work? To believe on the one that he sent. But the aspects of that involve you learning and understanding and truly believing in what that one accomplished and who that one is and what that one is. The Holy Spirit is here to reveal to you more and more and more who Jesus is, what he is, and what he actually accomplished. And the more you believe in the one, the more your confidence is in the one. And what will happen is you'll begin to really grasp and truly believe in the work of death, burial, and resurrection. To believe in the one is equal to and the same thing as stop believing in the first one. Stop believing in Adam. That's why the Bible said, esteem no man, for all things belong to you, whether in heaven or in earth. Everything, what does that mean? Because in Christ, everything belongs to you. So stop esteeming the life that came from Adam. Don't esteem anybody. Don't say, I'm of Apollos, I'm of this, I'm of this is the guy I follow, this is the person I believe in. Now, stop doing that, he says. For all things belong to you. Believe on the one. It includes, vitally important, it includes the rejection of the first Adam. It includes you stop believing in you. Stop believing in your mom and dad. Stop believing in your wife and your children. Stop believing in those who impress you and begin to believe wholeheartedly in the one that he sent. This includes hating the life of the first Adam. That's why Jesus said it. He's the one. Believe in the one that he sent. What did the one say? If a man doesn't hate his life, he can't be my disciple, which simply means if you don't hate your natural life and really hate it, and you can't do that without a revelation of what it is, the Holy Spirit has to carefully, gently show it to you and lead you into it. If he showed it to you all at once, you'd kill yourself. If you saw how corrupt you really are, if you saw how filthy your life really is, you would kill yourself. You couldn't take it. So the Holy Spirit is gentle and he leads us into all the truth step by step. Even if I tell you the truth, you can't get it until the Holy Ghost does it, until he shows it to you. I could talk to you every day, and you could even believe. You could even believe what I'm saying is from God, but your spirit will not get it until you see it yourself. And only the Holy Spirit can do that, show it to you. So the new covenant work is different than the old. The new covenant work is not honor your parents, don't steal, don't commit adultery, and don't bear false witness, have no other gods before. That's not the new covenant work. That's the old covenant work that was to expose what you really are, so you would be willing to die. You'd be willing to give up what you are and enter into what He is. Oh, praise the Lord. The new covenant is so much better than the old, because in the new we gain everything that is eternal. Oh, let me hit this before we close today. In the old covenant, every single promise was for the things of the world. Go look at it. You can't find a single promise in the old covenant for anything eternal, for anything heavenly. God never promised heaven. He never promised eternity. He never promised any true riches in the old covenant. Never, not once. Every promise was for what's not true riches. Jesus said, if a man's not faithful with the unrighteous mammon, how can he be entrusted with true riches? In other words, the stuff here in the world is not true riches. It's not true wealth. And we got to understand the difference. In the old covenant, every promise was for things that are not true wealth, things that are not eternal. Why? Because they were given to the temporal man. Oh my goodness, man, the Holy Ghost help us get this. And so many people today are preaching, if you'll obey God, He'll bless your life. And they're deceived. They're under a curse. They do not understand. They're keeping themselves in the flesh. Because what they want from God is they want temporal blessing. They want the things of the world. They want success in this life. Jesus, on the other hand, never promised temporal things. The only you can try to say that He did by looking at the one passage where He says, no man has given up houses, land, wife, children. He won't gain 100 times as much in this life and in the next. So who has ever followed Jesus that gained 100 houses and 100 moms? What did He mean by that? When you give up the world, you gain what's eternal. If you give up your earthly family, you gain 100 moms. Why? Because you become a part of a body. You become a part of something totally different, something eternal. You gain so much more. Jesus wasn't promising temporal blessings for obedience. Never. As a matter of fact, He was very clear. If you followed Him, you're going to lose. If you followed Him, you're going to be hated. You're going to be rejected. You're going to be cast outside the camp. But He said He would take care of our basic need, your clothing, your food, stuff like that. He's going to take care of us. But if you look at the apostles and their lives, they didn't gain wealth. They didn't gain 100 houses and have a real estate business. No, they lost the things of the world. God took care of them, but they lost the things of the world. And most of them were put to death. They tried to put all of them to death. John's the only one they weren't able to do it. But when we begin to understand the two different covenants, we understand why the promises of the old covenant were the earthly things. You'll eat the fat of the land. You'll get houses you didn't build. You'll have crops you didn't plant. All these things God's going to give you are earthly things. But He gave that covenant to expose our iniquity. It's not the final result of it is not good. It doesn't get anybody into the kingdom. That's why the promises and the things you could get were not eternal. They weren't really righteous. They weren't really good things. But man wanted them. So God said, okay, do everything I tell you to do and you can have them. And nobody was able to do it. And so everybody, even if they gained everything in the world, they would lose it at the end because there's always something that they would come short in. It's always like that. But in the new, we believe on the one that He sent. And the promises are eternal. The promises are the new Jerusalem. The promises are the right hand seat. The promises are dominion over all power and a name above every name and a seat above every seat. Hallelujah. The promises are totally, totally different. So praise the Lord. I'll leave this short today because I just want to sow these seeds here today and keep it simple, which is something the Holy Ghost is trying to help me to do. I'm trying to really, really, in Jesus' name, just say what He wants me to say and win. That's the more difficult part. Win, because I hear Him talking. I just want to say it. But when does He want me to say it? And how? Amen. May God give us grace to just say what we hear Him saying and to do what we see Him doing. In Jesus' name, and may God give us revelation on the difference of these two covenants that we can see in John and in Jesus Christ, the vast difference of these two covenants, so that we can truly enter into what Jesus paid for us to have. If a man does not hate his own life, he cannot have the life of Jesus Christ. Oh my goodness. But if we'll reject the world, the promises for the world, it's time for that old covenant to end. God's not doesn't want to promise you favor with man and wealth in the world and success. That's what men want. That's what temporal man wants. But God wants to give you an eternal kingdom, and he wants to bring you to a place where you don't want anything here, and that when he comes, there's nothing here that has your heart. Oh my goodness. Because you are truly a pilgrim passing through, and you don't love anything here, because you're looking forward to an eternal kingdom, a house not built with hands. Oh, hallelujah. God bless you today in Jesus' name.